Before Brother Green comes, let's just sing that song again, I've Never Been Sorry.
I've never been sorry that I trusted His name. Every moment I find Him exactly the same. My soul has been singing since the Savior came. I've never been sorry that I trusted His name. I've never been sorry that I trusted His name. Every moment I find Him exactly the same. Been singing since the Savior came. I've never been sorry that I trusted His name.
Well, I can say amen to that old new song.
Amen.
I guess if you look at how long it's been composed, it's old, but I don't ever remember hearing it before. But I can say that I believe it.
Amen.
And I can say it's true in my life.
Yes.
How many of you never heard it before? Well, look at that. Jordan, where'd you hear it? Oh, Cloverdale. Okay.
The man wrote also I'll Fly Away.
I'll Fly Away. Okay, he had some inspiration. That's all right. We don't mind you bringing us something new for ourselves.
Amen.
You don't have to apologize for that, but God bless you. My, well, nice crowd tonight for Sunday night. You folks didn't have anywhere else to go? There wasn't anything else happening or something? Or are you being stirred up a little bit?
Yes.
You're interested in what's happening. I mentioned this morning that I do feel that we're becoming more aware of the blessings that we have from the scriptures, that there are angels that do minister to us. And I will have to testify, or I can testify in my own life, that the more that I have studied about it and the more times I have experienced it, the more often it is happening. I made a statement down at the prophetic conference the other day that I found Brother Paul Keith Davis and Brother Steve Shelley, when I'm around them, those two guys can't even take a nap without having a dream or something happening in their life. And, you know, I think we should be led by the Spirit of God. That we shouldn't take a vacation from the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our life.
Right.
And I would say that, quoting Brother Branham, Brother Branham says that when we start meditating and thinking about the Lord, he said he comes near to us.
Right.
And his presence is there. And you can't tell me that God says, okay, you got the day off, you don't need to wait around for me anymore. I think that they that wait upon the Lord,
amen,
he will come near.
Yes, amen.
Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to thee. And if they're there, well, why should we not expect it every hour of every day?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to be without his presence at any time.
No.
And if he's there, I want to be aware of it. Coming to church tonight, I had a new thought that even makes me more aware. You know, we so often say and do things that if we were in his presence, we would not even think them. And what was happening is that somewhere and somehow in my expedition, there has got to be a choir CD in there. And after I've heard Sister Green's three and the one that the Anton's and Peterson's and Sister Cheryl Hall make, it goes to the, this one comes up. And I normally don't listen to it, but on the way to church tonight, I was listening to it, and they were singing a song. And I said, well, now, if I was standing in front of the Lord, I wouldn't sing that song. It's a hymn. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I wouldn't sing that song if the Lord was present. Brother Branham said evil spirits travel in those titles.
Amen.
But we as Christians, we've let the mainstream come in until we think, well, what's wrong with that song? That's a hymn, that's a Christian song, but it's not true. Now, before you think I'm being picky, we used to sing a song, "There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine." And Brother Branham comes along and makes one statement. There's no place in the Bible where God is compiling presently a list of names. They were written there before the foundation of the world. And we stopped singing that song. Because the night you got saved, you didn't get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we don't sing it anymore. And how many songs and hymns do we sing that do not give him glory? But they make us feel good. And I think of one, "Victory is mine, victory is mine." We love the tempo does that. But I told Satan to get, you haven't done no such a thing. And you sing it to give God glory? Now, if you have, you get up and sing it. But you know the reason we sing songs sometimes is because they make us feel good. And that's what I think we went through with our music situation here a few years ago. I think it's time that we begin to be serious enough about this that we are careful what we say to the Lord.
Amen.
And that we let our songs be worship to him and not just us.
Right.
If the Lord were standing here, and Brother Bram said you talk to him just like you talk to each other, would you sing a song that did not glorify him? The angels have been saying, "Holy, holy, 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 holy," from the day this created. And they still haven't got it described.
Amen.
But we're almost to the state as Christians that we have to have something new, set to a new melody or a new tune or a new beat or a new tempo. Have I still got y'all up here? You're dismissed. Thank you for waiting to see if Brother Green's going to get through with this tonight. I'm saying this because, folks, I think we need to be very sincere and serious about this. That if we are going to expect the presence of God and the leadership of the Holy Ghost in our lives, and God to send the angels to minister to us, we need to become more sensitive and more transparent and open about what we're doing and saying. We don't need to have let it be a form we go through or just a system we go through. There should be the sincerity of our hearts to the leadership and the presence of God.
Amen.
Now, when Brother Branham makes a statement that if you start talking about him or meditating about him or thinking about him or studying about him, he comes near to us. That's the way it should be.
Yes.
Now, in my own personal experience, and that's the only way that I know how to explain it to you. I can first of all tell you that I know that when I first had the privilege to be around Brother Branham in a meeting, that regardless of where we were and what we were doing, about the first time it happened, it was 2:00 in the afternoon. And we were just sitting there in a restaurant talking, and Brother Branham looked at his watch, and when he saw it was 2:00, he just got up and left. He didn't say, "Goodbye, I'll see y'all later," or anything else. Now, Billy Paul knew, but I can show you now on tape where Brother Branham said that 3:00 every afternoon, he went to his room and locked the door. You ever heard him say that? Well, how many believe he did?
Yes.
I mean, he had that agreement with his own spirit and with the Lord that from that time of my life when I'm in a meeting until I go before the people, it was just him and God. Now, somewhere or another, I picked up on that for myself. And when we moved out there on the property where we are, there used to be several hundred acres between us and Bear Canyon that was vacant. The girls used to could ride their horses from there all the way to Sabino Canyon without crossing the fence. And just in the next parcel next to us, there's what we call the 19 acres that now they've built 19 houses on it. But it was vacant then, and there was a wash that run down through it, and it was pretty deep. And I know that the first time I went down there, Brother Earl Martin was here in the city preaching for us, and he and I just took a walk. And when we got to that place, we just sort of dropped off into that wash, and there was banks on both sides of it. And I found a place there where I could sit down, and Brother Earl and I had a time of fellowship and some prayer, and we sought the Lord for the service at night. And after that, it sort of became a private place for me. I never went there unless I really was desperate or I really felt I need to get a hold of the Lord. I need to have a conversation with him. And it wasn't me to go there and beseech the Lord or petition him, but it just got to where if I showed up there, I knew that he knew I was there.
Amen.
I had another thing. I used to stay in the bedroom upstairs on Saturday night. And it got to where in my life that every Saturday night when everything got quiet and everything around here, 11, 12 o'clock, I took my shoes off and I learned to walk to the church and everything. And it didn't matter. We had those altar benches there. If I came down there and laid down around an altar bench, I in my mind, it was an understanding that, Lord, I'm here.
Amen.
And if you got something you want to show me or tell me or reveal to me, wake me up. Give me a dream.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that setting that time aside worked for me.
Yes.
In May of 73, whenever I was going through that nervous breakdown, and I've told you folks before, but I got up and everybody was gone from the house in the afternoon about 2 o'clock, and I got up and took my pistol and I made up my mind I was of no good, no benefit to anybody, and I took the little gun in my waistband and I was going to go down to that private place. It was behind the house where I live now, and I was going to take my life. I was going to go down there because I wouldn't mess up the house. Janice and the girls would live in the house, and I didn't know when they would find me, but I was just that desperate. I felt just that worthless, that no good. I couldn't answer the phone. I just couldn't do anything. That's when I found out that I couldn't get Sister Green to lie for me. If somebody would call on the telephone, I tried to teach her to pick up the phone and say hello. And when they asked for me, she's supposed to say, "May I ask who's speaking?" And then when they said that, she was to say their name out loud. And then I would let her know, "Yes, I'll talk. No, I won't talk." But Sister Green is so honest that whenever they would ask me, she'd say, "Just a minute." Well, that told them I was there. But I discovered one day when I happened to be in the shower that she did it exactly right. "May I ask who's calling?" And she said the name. And then she told him, she said, "Well, he's not available right now." So I found out that if I was in the shower, Sister Green could put off the phone call. And I turned out to where I was taking 6 or 7 showers a day. I was the cleanest preacher in town. Now that sounds funny to you people, but if you've ever had a nervous breakdown, just anything to stay away from that. Well, it got so bad that one day she and the girls and mother and them left the house, and I just decided, well, I'm not going to be this way anymore. So I got the pistol and I come out of the house, and I was going to go over there to the secret place of prayer. And God knew what I was going to do, and I knew what I was going to do, but nobody else knew what it was. And I was just going to get myself out of everybody's way. And that's when I stepped off of the porch and that whirlwind came down there by the bunkhouse, and I saw it and I walked around the tree to miss it. And how many of you never heard this story? Well, and I turned to go around one tree to, because it was here, and when I got around that tree, I looked and it had, was in front of me, and I thought, well, it had just reversed direction, so I turned and come back around this way, and when I come back this time, it had moved back in front of me there. And that caused me to stop.
Yeah.
And I just said out loud, God, is that you, or are you mindful of what I'm doing? And folks, you don't have to believe it, but I know what happened to me.
Amen.
I stood right there and that whirlwind came to me and it enveloped me. I stood right in the middle of it and stuck my hand out like this and I could feel it. Now, when I first saw it, it had picked up the dust and some paper or something of styrofoam there, and I saw it, and here it was. And I was standing right there in the middle, and I did this. I felt it. And instead of it leaving me, it lifted up over my head, and as it went up over my head, it was just like somebody plugged me back in.
Amen.
And I was instantly delivered from that.
Yes.
Now, that's the first time it ever, that presence really ever came to me like that. I plan to tell you folks the other five or six times it's happened, because it's come to place. But now, in my life right now, they built houses there and I don't go to that place. So since I've moved my office outside my house, I got concerned about somebody breaking into it, because, you know, people who know me, they got the idea, well, I can steal from Brother Green and he won't prosecute me. And I haven't told you folks everything that's happened, but I mean, our home has been invaded. They got Janice's jewelry and things from me, and thousands of dollars worth of stuff. My guns, three times they've disappeared. And so when I fix this office up, I put double locks on it, you know, put protection on the windows and try not to keep anything real valuable there. I just found this out, that lay not up treasures for moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal.
Amen.
And in Tucson, just don't own it if you don't want it stolen. I've got a yard full of scrap out there, and over $100,000 worth of stuff just disappeared out of that yard. And you know who it was? People who was working for me. They knew Brother Green was generous and all. But anyway, I had these locks put on there, and I discovered one day that when I went in there, I didn't want to be disturbed. And so I not only locked the door handle, but it's got a deadbolt key that you have to have a key to unlock it inside and outside. In other words, not just one you can break a window and reach your hand in there and twist a lock. You got to have a key to get it out of there. And the plunger is about that long. And on the outside, it's got steel on the outside. I really fixed it where somebody couldn't get in. And if I locked you in there, you can't get out. But I've made it a practice when I don't want to be disturbed, I unplug the phone and I go to both doors and I not only lock them in the handle, I lock the deadlocks with a key. And put the key in the drawer. And that tells me I'm alone. Nobody is going to just walk in there that's a human. If anybody comes in there to communicate to me, they're going to have to be supernatural. And this is just, let's just say it's psychological for myself. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's my closet I enter into. And I'm telling you this because I think it'll work for you. You need to have a place. Didn't Brother Branham go to his cave? His secret place of prayer? And why did he go there? Because he'd had a visitation there. And Brother Branham would go there seeking the Lord for an answer or direction. Now, I guess it was Thursday night or Friday one, my daughter Karen and I had a difference, and we had some words like father-daughter. And she goes out to her trailer where she's staying, and I want to talk to the Lord about today and myself and the thoughts I'm having. And I go in my office and I lock those doors. Well, when I come out that night, there's a note or letter on the kitchen counter to my dad. And Karen had wanted to see me. She wanted to bring me my coat because she knew I'd been cold during the day. And she comes out there and she finds both doors locked. And I never heard her, but now she thinks her daddy locked her out. I'm just showing you how the motive is entirely different.
Yeah.
My desire was, I want to, and I want you to know, the Lord didn't disappoint me. Some of the things that I said this morning, and remember the last thing that I got a clear conversation from this voice that speaks to me was some of the things that are mysteries right now, like 2012, some of the ancient manuscripts that are out now, and some of the things that the Vatican's expecting out of outer space. And I ask questions about that. And man, I was ready to tell you folks several months ago. Remember, I listed them off to you.
Amen.
This thing about Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan and the present condition of our government and the progressive socialism is coming in on us. And I see things that Brother Branham said about it back in the 50s that is right now. Let me just take a moment to give you one quote about that. And I read it to some of the ministers in there tonight. And if Brother Branham was here now, or just let me read it to you. Austin, I think it's one I gave you, son. It's 1954. It's January the 3rd. It's the one that I got paragraph 145 through one. Do you have that one? Okay, well, put it up there and let's read it to him. I think St. Paul out there on the aisle after the shipwreck, God had given him a vision when the 14 days and nights, all hopes was gone that they'd ever be saved, and the little old boat tossing about like that, and they was all crying, and 14 days and night, Paul was down there, had a vision. He came out and said, "Be of good courage, for the angel of God." It's one of the times in the book of Acts that the first church age messenger had an angel come to him. Now, Brother Brown called it a vision. "Be of good cheer, whose servant I am, has stood by me and said, fear not, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God gives all those who sail with you." When the ship wrecked and went on the shores, and they got over there with the natives, and Paul was picking up some sticks, and he went and laid them on the fire, and in there was a big serpent, grabbed him by the hand. Now that serpent injected poison in his hand that would have killed him within a minute. The natives said, "Watch that fella fall dead, and he'll die just in a minute. He's in chains for preaching the gospel." Religious people put him in chains. The very finest of churches that day, what put him in chains. If it just wasn't for the Constitution of the United States, they'd do the same thing today. That's right. Now listen to this. Just wait till she's broke a little more.
Amen.
And folks, think where we are now. Have you ever looked at this and that Brother Branham saw this coming? Just wait till she's broke a little more.
Amen.
Well, folks, how much broker can you be?
Yeah.
And Brother Branham's talking about this in 1964. I mean, what year was it? 54. Well, in 1954... these things wasn't exactly so. Let's read another one in 1954. It's May the 9th. I think you've got that one too, Jordan. It's beginning with paragraph 203. And it's Roosevelt. But let me tell you, when Mr. Roosevelt, the man's dead, let him rest. I trust he is. Was there a conspiracy back there then that they thought maybe Roosevelt's life or death had been faked like Elvis Presley's? Is that what Brother Branham says? The man's dead. Let him rest. I think he is. How many of you are old enough that you remember that they thought Roosevelt had faked his death? Anybody remember that? Thank you, Brother Wiggins. That shows you at least 70. Come in and run in 3 or 4 terms and taken over. Just a preliminary dictatorship. I can prove to you that in the scripture where that said it'd take place, that's right. We haven't gotten a more constitution. And if you remember in Brother Brown's vision of 32, right after Roosevelt was elected, what was one of the things that he was shown? Roosevelt to 4 terms of office. And that had never been before. No president ever went over 2. But Roosevelt was elected 4 times. That's right. We haven't gotten a more constitution. She's broke to pieces. Everything's all smattered. The Republicans is just as bad. It's 6 of one and a half a dozen of the other. And you know 6 is a half a dozen. Forever kingdom is going to be smashed, but the kingdom of Jesus Christ shall stand and reign forever. That's right. Daniel saw the rock hewn out of the mountains and hit the political world back there and mashed it into a grinding powder like that. What was it? The feet of iron and clay that was smashed with the rock that was hewn out of the mountain? Not with hands? And like the wheat on a threshing floor in the summertime, but that rock grew into a great mountain that spread and filled the whole heavens and earth. That's it. Now, the political world's gone. Our nation is broke. You remember that. Look when he's saying that, May of 54. You remember that Brother Branham said, "Thus saith the Lord." And folks, that's not Brother Branham talking anymore. Our nation is demolished. It will never rise. She's gone like all the rest of the nations. It's the greatest nation in the world standing today. But the very seed of the devil has been planted into the hearts of the people. How it come into Hollywood, how it got out into the people and began to this, and you can't tell them nothing. Got a president up there who would try to close whiskey and not have prohibition. See what would happen. He'd be shot in 2 hours after he got in there. Sure, he can't stand it. The whole world's against him. Yes, sir. You couldn't do it. She's gone. She's invaded. And the spirit of communism has took over. Yeah. Well, isn't that what we're hearing now?
Amen.
Go to our schools today. Look at our school children. Our little old fellas that go to school. You just ought to know what goes on. Little girls down there in the schools and things like that at the age of 14 and 15. Their mammy sent them to school. Wrecked morally, mentally, dope fiends, dope addicts, cigarette pumpers, everything else like that. And a little bitty age. The little children like that. It's been as hard to find a virgin among some of them as it would be to find a needle in a haystack. Where they have blanket dates with the boys and stretch out these riverbanks and everything else, everywhere else. And I can prove it to you, my friends. I wouldn't say it in the pulpit unless I knew what I was talking about.
Yes,
amen. Of schools right here in our counties, right in here in these counties, of these little ladies dressing, don't know, telling their mothers, and they're going to different places and meeting boys and even prostituting on the streets of Louisville. What is it? And singing choirs. Because they got a little old social gospel standing there. Where preachers stand and talk about little petty things and little bitty stories of the Bible. Folks, that is a picture of us today.
Yes. Amen.
And that's what I said a moment ago about the music. If it's entertainment and fun and appealing, that's not what we need now. We need sin and error exposed. You say, but you can't judge them. You got to love them. I think love is really corrective.
Yes. Amen.
And you don't know how it makes me rejoice in my heart tonight as pastor to see the crowd we've got back here tonight. I know that you heard some hard things today, but folks, it just, I think that inside of us, the inside says, I want to be right with God.
Yes.
I'd rather offend people than I had offend God. Mother's out through the daytime and a bunch of women at some card party, some social like that. How can you expect the child to be anything else? Look, whatever an environment you live in, that's what you are. Now, this was 1954. But look at the condition today. What did Brother Branham say? Wait till it's broke a little more. Have those days come?
Yes.
Then should we not apply ISAV more and say, it's time that we found this place, that we set ourselves aside, that we look for the leadership of God in our life, that we stop trying to be popular and compromise any with anybody. But we don't hate people, but we must be true to God. And look, it's just like this. As I said a moment ago, maybe you say the old hymn, oh, the old faithful hymn. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Listen, the Trinity is false.
Amen. Right.
Now, if somebody says to you and makes a statement, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the name is Jesus Christ,
amen,
what they're doing is they're denying the deity of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They're worshiping idols. Now, we can go even further. You may think they're giving glory to God, deity, but let me tell you, anybody to come along and take Brother Branham's name and baptize in it is just as guilty.
Amen.
Anybody who tries to take and deify Brother Joseph is just as guilty.
Amen.
If you try to elevate me, you're just as guilty. We are sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
We must be careful. God will not share his glory with anybody. You may say, oh, Brother Green, I wouldn't talk like that. But it's time we talk like that. Because there will be no excuse. I may get a chance to read it to you here. Where somebody asked Brother Branham, why did they in Revelation 19 over there, why did they refuse to accept the worship? Brother Branham said, because that wasn't Jesus, that was a prophet.
Amen. Yes.
And that prophet refused that worship. They wanted to bow down to that angel, and they said, don't you do that.
Amen.
There's only one to worship.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not the Trinity, not some doctrine, not some dogma. Not some message, not some interpretation, but what is God's chosen place? His name.
Amen.
What is Malachi 4 to do? Correct those things that have gone off into error. What does Luke 17 say he'll do? Restore those things. He's not to come along and give you another religion, another substitute,
amen,
another revelation. He is to finish the mystery of God.
Yes, right.
What is the mystery of God according to Brother Branham's own words? Jesus Christ of the New Testament,
amen,
was Jehovah God of the Old Testament.
Amen.
And if you don't put it in that place, you're anti-word. You're anti-Christ.
Yes.
Brother Branham says to substitute him for Jesus Christ makes him anti-Christ.
Right. Right. Amen.
And if you read the description of the beast that's to come and manifest the Antichrist, if I was somebody who worshiped Brother Branham and tried to deify him, I'd be concerned. We know that in those days that are marry and give in marriage, they'll buy and sell, they'll plant and build. That'll just be their normal day activities. But he gave us a very urgent warning. Take heed that no man deceive you.
Yes.
And if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. Now, deception is something that it seems real, but it's fake. It feels good, but it's wrong. It sounds good, but there's no truth to it. It's successful, but will end in failure. It'll appear, man, look at this prosper. Look how wonderful it is this is. It creates prosperity, but it leads to destruction. There is no blessing to it. What is a blessing? A blessing is anything that's good for the soul.
Yes, amen.
Somebody come along and give you $1 million, and it takes you away from God and costs you your soul. That wasn't a blessing. That was a curse.
Amen.
Something happens that comes along and takes everything you've got, and it draws you closer to God. That's a blessing. I'm not crazy. That's just reality. And if you're called of God and you love God, then everything works for your good.
Yes.
The Bible makes it very clear, and so does Brother Branham's message, that deception of mankind is not limited to one nation, but to the whole world. There will be deception worldwide. Now, 100 years ago, there was no way that people talk about one world government, one world economy. But if you notice today, they talk about one world government, world bank, world currency, world government, world trade organization, world this, world that. Why? Because there's going to be one man who's going to come along and declare himself like God. And the majority of the people of the world are going to go for it.
Yes.
At the height of this deception, I'm sure you've read it in the scriptures before, the Bible tells about a man, a person that'll be inspired by Satan, who'll be so successful that the world wondered after the beast. How wonderful he is. He'd be a new world ruler. Till the scripture says he'll call all that dwell upon the earth to worship him. Except those whose names were written in the book of life.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That'll be the proof. Whether you are predestinated, foreknown by God from before the foundation of the world. So if you find yourself doing any of these contributing factors or characteristics toward the Antichrist feeling, and you say, well, it don't really matter, you need to be careful, because you're proving yourself what seed you are.
Amen.
And this will not come in by necessarily dictated, but democracy itself, people's rights, will be the ones that come along and cause this to happen.
Amen.
What is it? How is it today that organizations like ACLU and freedom groups and so forth and everything else can come along and get the Pledge of Allegiance under God taken out? Can get In God We Trust off of the money? Can take prayer out of our schools. Make it illegal to have a Bible in school. That's not what our Constitution said.
No, right.
I got 2 pages of quotes where Brother Bram said, this country was founded upon Christian principles.
Yes.
By our forefathers.
Amen.
And the Spirit has come in now and taken that away from us.
Right.
And now then, they don't fight and demand those rights, but he says, wait until she gets a little bit more broke. What causes people to surrender their rights? They're hungry.
Yeah.
They need something. They want something for nothing. They want a God with skin on him. They're impatient with God. And you know what? You could tell them the truth and they can't see it. Because they're not ordained to believe it.
Amen.
Mark chapter 13, verse 35. Austin, I'm going to give you some scriptures like that. Now you're going to have to find them for me. Watch therefore, for you know not when the Lord of the house cometh, whether at eve or at midnight or at cock crowing or in the morning. Now, the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. And this is telling us what to look for and how to expect his coming. And like the quote I read you this morning that Brother Bram said, he revealed the six seals. But the seventh one is his coming. You know, the only thing Brother Bram told us to do is just what this told us to do.
Yes.
Watch for it. Wait for it. Amen. Live a simple, humble, righteous Christian life. Don't try to figure it out.
Amen.
You know, if it's the greater revelation than what most people have, the word should make you have more love and more understanding.
Right.
But you notice when somebody says, I've got the answer, I've got the revelation, I know these secrets, it doesn't make them love you more. They put you out. They clan unto themselves. You'll find in Brother Bram's teachings that when that comes along, there's supposed to be something about a new name. You ever heard that talked about?
Amen.
A name that he has that he'd be called? That's the one thing that Brother Bram talked to me about, that he made me promise I wouldn't preach it. Can you folks believe I've been faithful to that? Years ago, I wondered, why did Brother Branham tell me that? And it doesn't make me any greater than anybody else, but I'll tell you something it's done for me. When I see the brothers come along with these greater revelations than anybody else has, I will ask them a question or two about the new name. And when they go opposite of what Brother Bram told me, I'm not intimidated anymore. I know they're not correct. And when one comes along and tells you they've got it, just ask them what it is. Let me tell you, that new name is powerful.
Amen.
Brother Branham says this on tape, so I can tell you this much. The way his mouth was shaped, the way his teeth were shaped. If you'll notice in particular on the film, his bottom teeth come to a pyramid shape in the bottom. And he says that's so that he could say that name.
Amen.
And there was times that he spoke that name until the angel of the Lord told him not to.
Yes.
Now he told me that that's the reason he put braces on Sarah's teeth. To change the structure of her mouth so that she couldn't say that name, because she was the one child of his that had inherited that, and she could say that name. It's like the Jewish people use the word shibboleth for a password. And nobody can say it like a Jew. The Germans use the word octanoxy. And I can't say it. Anybody here speak German that you got that octanoxy? Klaus, can you say it? It means 88. They used it during the war. Octanoxy. Now that seems to be so simple, but yet I think that Brother Branham had a purpose to share that with me. And that does make that I'll know it before anybody else or anything else. But you folks know I do have the courage to say, brother, I just don't think you got it right.
Yes. Amen.
But I haven't told anybody what he said, all he said about it. And I don't want to. It's like when he told me that Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't by himself. And he described the man a little bit, and he never gave me the man's name, because by now I'd have got myself in trouble. They'd be looking for me. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to read verse 8 through 16. I want us to read it together. Ephesians 5, verse 8 through 16. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
Amen.
For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I'd like to know that assurance. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Amen.
How many believe that God is able to keep you?
Yes.
If you're one of his, nothing can remove you from that.
Amen.
See then that you walk circumspectly. Do you know what that means? Make sure you got all the circumstances before you pass an opinion.
Amen.
Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We're told to look for these things, expect these things.
Yes.
But while we do it, we live a simple, humble Christian life. Let's look at Acts chapter 17, verse 24 through 28. Acts 17, 24 through 28. God that made the world and all things that therein, seeing that the Lord of heaven and earth dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You see who controls things?
Yes.
That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we're also his offspring.
Amen.
Brother Robert did an excellent job Wednesday night of telling us what our Father has got for us. And he desires for you to have all the good things.
Yes.
You need healing? Father God provided it for us. You need financial help? Your Father God owns it all. You need inspiration? Where does it come from? You need revelation? You need understanding? You need love? You need direction? Your Heavenly Father desires to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
He's preparing a place for you.
Yes.
That where he is, we all can be there.
Amen.
But for some reason, we've got to the place where we want it all here. This is not our home. We're just passing through here.
Amen.
We live and move and have our being. And we're only here that we can develop character and become like him and demonstrate him to all those that cannot believe on him.
Right.
But he gets glory out of your life.
Amen.
When things go wrong, to see you act like him. That's my boy.
Amen.
Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And Israel right now is being condemned and criticized by the world because they still believe this. When they say, we're going to build another 600 homes for our people to live in. They scream and holler. The land has been vacant and barren and of no use to anybody for centuries. But they don't want anybody else to have it. Well, the Jews take it and make a garden out of it. Make it a place where people can live and enjoy life. And it means so much to them and they cherish it so much, they will live there risking their life every time they go outside. Where every time they journey from the bounds of that particular neighborhood or that area into another area of their land. Why? Because they believe that.
Amen.
But you and I in the spiritual realm, well, it's so hard. You know, we don't believe it like the Jews believe in their natural inheritance. Let's look at that was Deuteronomy 1:8. Let's look at 8:1. All the commandments which I commanded thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. You want to inherit this land? Obey me. Keep my commandments. Well, I love the Lord. Well, if he tells you he don't like something, then why do you want to do it?
Amen.
As I said this morning, people dislike the preacher because he sort of represents this authority. I'm not the one that tells the women not to dress like a man. Or the wives not to cut their hair but honor their husband. I'm not the one made that law.
Amen.
But because I have the courage to quote it, I'm the one that becomes the hateful one. If I say something about the immorals of a same-sex marriage, I'm the one preaching hate. I don't hate the sinner. I hate the sin that violates God's law. Paul come along and said, doth not nature itself teach you that it's a curse for a man to have long hair?
Amen.
Even the Beatles come out with just the little long hair they did. And Brother Bram said, they're the ugliest bunch of girls he ever saw. He talked about the women cutting their hair because where did that bobbed hair come from? When a woman was unfaithful or immoral, they cut her hair off to let everybody know she's an immoral woman.
Yeah.
Now then, they all cut their hair off so you know who is and who not. Sometimes right now, the immoral prostitutes wear it the longest. And if somebody wears them and exposes the... Well, as Brother Bram said, so tight it looked like the skin stretched over a weenie or something like that. Or if it shows the underclothes, I wouldn't show my underclothes, but I'll wear something and expose the fringes of it that looks like underclothes. I mentioned that to a young lady the other day. Well, this is not underclothes. This is made to wear like this. Well, I can't help it. It still looks like the top of a petticoat that's full of lace. Why is it hanging out the bottom? Not because it looks like another garment of contrasted color, but because it looks like your undergarments. I guess that's one thing Paul LaFontaine said. I remember he said there's some reason why they're called undergarments.
Yeah, amen.
Then why do they want to wear them on top?
Right.
Oh, but that's the layered look, Brother Green. No, that's the Britney Spears look. The Madonna look. That's who you're taking pattern your life after. Won't you pattern yourself after your grandmother? A godly woman. Or your mother, if she serves the Lord. Why are you doing it? Well, you have no right to judge me. I don't judge you. God said that's an abomination. What is an abomination? Now, in the English language, I heard a preacher one time preach and say that means that he's going to bomb the nation. But Brother Branham's definition was you go into a public restroom and it stinks so bad you don't even want to touch the door going out, so you touch it with your elbow and push the door open. It stinks so bad. You don't even want to touch anything. That's an abomination. Is that what you want to appear before God? And I want to ask you something. Girls, ladies, sisters, would you really go see God in His holy presence with His holy angels and tell Him you love Him, dressed that way? Do you really mean that? Do you want to go stand? Let me tell you something. You wouldn't even go stand before a judge dressed like some of them dress. I've noticed that when I go to court, these hippies and all, they go like that. But boy, you ought to see the way they dress. Even Hollywood knows it. They want to change it. They go to gray and black, and the collar comes up here and the sleeves, you know, and no form fitting, you know. You can watch it as it happened.
Amen.
There was a time when women didn't wear their clothes that tight. There's a reason why they did it, because they know it appeals to people. Yeah. And today they've got pornography. And our government, our federal government, the employees, they waste billions of dollars every year on pornography time on the computers. But that's freedom of their expression that you and I have to pay for. We've got a better inheritance than that, folks.
Amen.
Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden mystery, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. God saw these conditions and He knew what they'd come about. And this, Romans 13 and 8. Speaking about that Antichrist and who will follow him. But look at this. Romans 13 and 8. Let us walk, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Is that 13 and 8? Well, I've got the wrong one. No, I'm sorry. It's Revelations, no wonder. Not Romans. Revelations 13 and 8. I knew there was something wrong with that. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
You know, the only thing that's going to keep you from worshiping that Antichrist is because you've been chosen, predestinated by Almighty God before the foundation of the world. So when you do follow that Antichrist spirit, what are you doing? You're saying you're not a predestinated child of God. That's when it becomes very, very serious. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 30. This is where This woman came to Jesus, wanting help, and Jesus, from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said she got what she came after.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
How many other people would have stood there and been called a dog? But you tell some people like that, well, you have no right to condemn me. You can't judge me. When they themselves know they're wrong. All right, I don't want to go too long because I get tired, but then I do want to read you one set of quotes that I have that Brother Branham talks about the conditions, and I was so impressed that I'd have thought he was preaching it now. Just a mention, here's an article here that Russia has now got a foreign policy plan to have first strike nuclear weapons on site. You know, we got to the place to where, well, we're no longer at a standoff. They got them and we got them. But now they've come along and do that. And remember, I just remind you, Brother Branham said, the bombs that will destroy America have got our names written on them.
Yes, amen.
They didn't destroy those. Earthquakes, Brother Branham mentioned about it. How many geologists did I hear say and read the articles about it? That there's going to be one in California that's going to be plumb off of the Richter scale.
Yes.
Higher than a 9.5. And remember, every decimal point on it is about 100 times more powerful than one before that.
Yes. Amen.
They're coming.
Yes.
What does the Bible teach us about earthquakes? They're like the birth pains of a woman in travail.
Amen.
They come more rapidly, they last longer, they become more powerful. I had two brothers call me from Europe this past week or so, and over there, all the earthquakes and all, they call them the rim of fire. And they had looked in the computer to see if Brother Branham had said that, and I said, no, Brother Branham called it the ring of fire. So they couldn't find rim of fire. But when I told them, they sat right there and punched their computer, and it just popped up everywhere. And Brother Branham, back in the 60s, is the first one ever called it the ring of fire. And look at it around the Pacific Ocean.
Yes.
You read the quotes where Brother Branham talks about the one that happened up in Alaska. He said that just them moving his tail a little bit, but wait till he raises his head up.
Yes.
Talking about Los Angeles. We're at that day, folks, where there's just no answer to it. Excuse me. Let me find this one page of quotes if I can, and I will close. I bring all this because I don't think I got enough to say. I just want to make sure I got enough to fill up the evening. How many more sermons do you think it'll take to get through with this? Oh, question and answers. 1959, June the 28th, in the evening. No, sorry, can't read it. It's where he's talking about how they've dishonored the Constitution. I'm sorry. I'll just have to bring it to you Sunday. God bless you. We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. I want us to do a better job in singing than that. Let's sing He Paid a Debt. You believe that tonight?
Amen.
He paid a debt. That I could not pay. I needed someone
who must
see the way. That I could never pay. And again, I could not pay. Sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Tonight I'm glad that I feel that I belong to the Lord.
Amen.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad I'm yours, Lord. Another touch from Him in your life, then make yourself available. Find this place. Go aside. Wait upon Him. He promises He'll come. Just another touch, Lord, as we stand to our feet.
Just another touch more. Yes, Lord, to help. To help. Though dark may be the night, when I get a touch more, again, please. Yes, just Lord, look upon us tonight and accept it from us. Gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry while on others thou art calling. Savior, 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 hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass again, pass me not. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Yes, while others thou art touch you tonight. You know, the only way that we can come is just as we are. We used to sing one, just as I am, without one plea.
Amen.
Just as I am, without one plea. But that was shed for me, and that he says, come aside, wait on me. Forgive us of our sins. Apply your blood and take away all our sins. Lamb, thou wilt receive just as. Yes, Lord. You say, come unto me. We'll welcome, pardon, cleanse, and relieve. Because thy promise, I believe it, Lord. O Lamb of God,
do you feel if you approached him you would be received by him? Then let's practice to separate ourselves. Go unto him, knowing that he loves you and that he's already shed his blood for you. He knows what you've done. He knows what you need. Jesus knows just what you need. Confess your sins. You're not going to surprise him. Ask him by his spirit to purge your mind, your emotions. Let you see where it's wrong. Convict you of it and you obey that. Don't fight it. Don't excuse it. Plead guilty, knowing that he's already forgiven you, if you will confess it.
Amen.
He's faithful to forgive us our sins. He's not going to beat you up about it. He wants you to be cleansed from your sins and be delivered. You know why? Because he's a Savior. That's the reason he endured it all. That's the reason he came in the flesh. To be a God of wrath and judgment. He didn't have to come in the flesh. He came in the flesh like you. So that he could take your place. There's no other God like him. There's no other deity known to man who loves you like he loves you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Tonight, Lord, amen. I come.
Yes.
I come.
Amen.
Just as I am, no excuses, just as I am. Knowing, Lord, that you loved me before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Thank God for the blood. I think Paul wrote it like this. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ, his Son.
Amen.
What a Savior. What a plan of salvation. There is no other universal plan that would cover us all. But every one of us, in whatever condition we find ourselves in, can be saved.
Amen.
And we all needed saving.
Yes.
And as somebody said, that he cannot heal you, he cannot save you, because he's already done that. What it is now is you accept it.
Yes.
Have you say it now? I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Are you ashamed to say that?
No.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
No, sir.
Remember when Sister Duke sang that song down here in the hotel? There was such an anointing about it. One brother mentioned to me that he thought he was looking at an angel. You know what it is, folks, to say you're not ashamed, to say you were once a sinner, but now you're saved?
Amen.
What a joy.
Yes.
Amen.
You're a child of the King.
Amen.
Amen.
Cleansed from all sin. You know it's not self-righteousness. It's It's because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know in whom you have believed, and you know you're persuaded that he's able to do that which he's promised he would do.
Amen.
That makes me appreciate God.
Amen.
God is so good. One time. God is so good. Yes, amen. Yes. He saved my soul. Father, I appreciate you tonight. Wednesday night service back here, another installment on angels, the Lord willing. I said this morning I'm going to continue on till I get through with it, if that's possible, or until every one of you have some kind of a supernatural experience. Now, if you don't want one, don't worry about it. It won't happen. But how many of you feel like you'd enjoy that?
Amen. Yeah.
Don't put any kind of precondition on it. Now, it's got to happen this way. You got to do that way. Just become aware that it's available.
Amen.
Then Thursday and Friday night, the brothers will be over at sunset. Next Sunday morning, we'll continue here. Heavenly Father, I was told today that not only are there two young ministers coming from Jeffersonville, Brother Trevor and Brother Nathan, but several of the other young people have decided they want to come too. So we welcome them.
Amen.
And it's not just for young people, old people too. Come feel young with us, huh? Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. You're dismissed. God bless you. God bless you.